Can you hear me now? Now you can hear me. Okay, I'll start over. So, God has a sense of humor. Who would agree with that statement, that God has a sense of humor? Not all that long ago, or at least it doesn't seem that way, I can remember, Andrea was very, very little, and I remember, I don't even know who looked at who, but I remember Jennifer and I looking at each other, and one of us said, I think we should start going to church. And the other one said, I was just thinking the same thing. We had a brief discussion, and we decided to come to Highview. Now, you can fast forward through all kinds of things that happened along the way of us becoming members and being involved in the church. And I don't necessarily remember Danny sitting up here as one of the little kids, but I remember the first time I was asked to do children's message. I remember being asked to do all kinds of things. So fast forward to this past summer. And Pastor Hess says, I'm going to put a small group together. I want to try a study on understanding the Bible and how to break it apart and teach it and preach it. Okay, and this group was made up with several people like Dick Natrop, who you see up here. Okay, lots of people that you might normally assume might come up here and do this, Sunday school teachers. But there is a few of us younger generations, and I remember us all kind of looking at each other and saying, who do you think is going to be the first one? He's setting us up for this. And we had a running joke going that it would be the one that had the worst attendance. I'm here to tell you I did not have the worst attendance for that group. But all of a sudden, Pastor comes to me and says, hey, I'm going to be gone the last week of December, the last week of the year. Would you want to preach? Pray about it, think about it, and let me know. Now, how many of you have been in those situations where as soon as you're asked the question, you know the answer? I knew I was going to say yes. I knew that God set me up to do this. But what do? You got to make it look good, right? So you pray about it, and you think about it, and you ask a few people, and I told him yes, and keep in mind this is about 6 weeks ago. He says, find a verse or a chapter or something in the Bible that really speaks to you and preach on that. Find something that you find fun and preach on it, okay? What happens when that happens? By the way, a little sidebar here. I'll try not to get off on too many sidebars, but most of you have seen me do children's message, right? Some of you have been in small groups that I've done. My background is I homeschool my kids. I worked in an elementary school. I was the recess monitor, not really a teacher, so there's a limit to that. But I'm used to a very interactive crowd. So as I look out amongst you, just shake your head yes every once in a while. A hallelujah or an amen, it's not necessary. No clapping or anything, but shake your head yes, because I'm not above calling on any of you, and I will have you come up on stage and share if I feel the need. We good with that? Good. Troy, nicely done. Shake the head. All right. So, where was I? Oh. So, I begin looking for a scripture, and I'm looking and looking and looking, and I have an idea what I want to talk about, but I just can't find the right scripture. So, what do? You go to Google. Am I letting too many secrets go? That was not part of what Stephen taught, just so you know. But I knew that God had set me up to do this. So I did a Google search for chosen, those that are chosen. And believe it or not, about the third or fourth listing down was John 15:16. Okay? So take a moment with me. We're going to pray quick here, and then I'm going to get into a little bit of this. But please understand, my purpose here is to continue the conversation of how I ended up here. Fair enough? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you today for all of our many blessings. Lord, I just ask today that I may be a conduit for your words and your thoughts, that this message may move everybody, and that we may have a blessed day and a blessed ending of the year. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide in me, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, I was drawn to that because of the first part of that, okay? I did not choose to do this, okay? This choice was something that came to me, and let's just say I agreed with. Much like my study Bible had this commentary in it, where when Jesus is saying this, now, understand, this is Jesus' farewell address. This is the end of the Last Supper. This is hours before he heads off to the garden. He knows what's going to happen. Okay, so these are some of his final thoughts to his disciples. Okay, but when he says, you did not choose me, that does not take away the fact that the disciples willingly chose to follow Jesus. What Jesus is emphasizing here is that I chose you to be my disciples. I chose you to do this, to be in this room with me. Okay, so I agreed with that a lot. But there's a lot more to that verse than that first part. So let's kind of walk through what that looks like. All right, and I think Danny did an awesome job. So if any of you are going to kind of zone out a little bit, you better remember what Danny said, because when you get the questionnaire at the end, you'll have the answers. You guys are doing pretty good at this. Well done. So what does that look like? Well, Jesus said, in order to bear fruit, we have to abide in him. What does that look like? Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Okay, so abide, not a word we use a lot, right? So I went to Webster. There again, Google, Webster Dictionary, always a good tool, right? No, don't listen to everything Google has to say. So, abide, to bear patiently, to endure without yielding, to wait for, to accept without objection, to remain stable or fixed in a state. Jesus is talking about that last one, to remain stable or fixed in a state. What state? What's Jesus talking about? Jesus is talking about a personal relationship with him. Okay, he's talking about that connection with him. All right, there again, I'm going to go back to what Danny said, abide in me. Okay, what's abiding in Jesus? Prayers, reading the Bible, all of those different things. But understand, it's a day-to-day thing. Okay, as Webster said, remain fixed in a state. It's a permanent thing. Okay, God left examples all over the place. There's the obvious one. How many of you have gotten flowers? How long do the flowers last once they're cut from the plant? The process of that flower dying starts as soon as it's cut, right? Branch on the tree, same thing, all right? It all happens that way. Here's an interesting little tidbit for you. Genesis 2, verse 15. God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. We're talking about the Garden of Eden before the fall. The Garden of Eden when it was perfect. Okay, the Garden of Eden was the place that God created for him to have a relationship with man. It was a perfect place for that perfect relationship. But yet before the fall, the garden was created for man to abide in the garden, for man to tend and work the garden, all right? You can ask any of the kids that I have in Sunday school. There's examples all over the place. That's an example of what Jesus is talking about. Now, after the fall, it just got harder to abide. That's it. But the idea of abiding was around back then, okay? So how do you and I abide in Jesus? Well, I'm going to share a little bit of my story or my testimony here, because How you abide in Jesus is a personal thing. Okay? It isn't just everybody do it this way. Because it's a personal relationship between you and Jesus, it has to be unique to you. But like I said, you heard how Jennifer and I ended up here. I remember just having a moment where I said, you know, I think I'm going to start attending adult Sunday school. With kids and everything else, it didn't work. We took two cars, but I came early and I went to adult Sunday school because I just felt like I needed more. Actually, I remember even before that point, I had met some people. I fell in with a group that had a very, very strong foundation in personal growth and development. Well, if you get involved in personal growth and development, you're going to discover that a big part of personal growth and development is your spiritual side. It's why do you believe what you believe? And I remember sitting down with a friend of mine who was along a very similar journey and saying, I just feel like I'm missing part of this Jesus, God, I got the basic stuff. I grew up with all of that. I understand what it takes to get into heaven and all that, but I'm missing something. And he reached into his bag, and he pulled out a book called Secrets in the Vine. And I read that book, and it spoke to me. It there was just something in it that clicked like that. Now, the funny thing is, not too far down the road from that, a very good friend of mine that you guys know, Chad Sutke, said a very similar thing to me. And I went, oh, well, you should read this book because it really spoke to me. And he took the book, he went home and he read it, and he came back and he said, I don't know what you saw in it. It was good information, but I just didn't get it. It didn't do that for me. But it led him to ask some questions and talk to some people and to start coming here. And he had his somewhere else. You see, it wasn't the book. It wasn't the book that was the magic moment. It was who I found in the book. Does that make sense? That's what abiding looks like. There's always got to be another side, right? Dick mentioned this. Verse 1 and 2. I am the true vine. Okay, sidebar. That's Jesus saying there's only one way to do this. I am the true vine. I am the one vine. I am the only vine. Now remember, we're talking on a spiritual level here. Okay? My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Any of you that are gardeners, any of you that know anything about fruit trees, do you ever notice when you go by a production apple orchard, none of the apple trees are super big? Okay, old apple trees get really, really big, but they don't make a lot of fruit. They don't make a lot of good fruit regularly because there's too much. Okay, a healthy apple tree has big roots, but not as many branches, and all of the branches on it are healthy, so they bear more fruit. Now, it sounds good on the end. It's the first part about being pruned. So, he prunes. This comes out of my study Bible. He prunes, removes unproductive branches, not just dead ones, but ones that prevent the best fruits. Here again, we're talking about God's fruits, okay? The best fruits. Not fruits here, not human fruits, but God's fruits. R.C. Sproul said it this way: he loves us so much that he cleanses us. He brings his hands on us heavily from time to time. That is part of the process we must go through to be made pure. I would suggest that you talk to some of the other people in the room, because if you talk to anybody in here, they're going to talk about times, whether it was a personal struggle, whether it was a relationship, whether it was the loss of a job, whether it was health challenges, any number of things, those could all be part of that process. Okay? There's going to be pruning. It's going to be part of it. But let's talk a little bit more about the results of that. Okay? Because if you do it the right way, if all of this comes together the right way, Jesus said, "And I in you." Do you remember that part? Abide in me and I in you. Think about that for a minute, because that keeps coming back over and over and over again. Okay? So he goes on to say, "Those who abide in me keep my commandments." Okay? So those who have a relationship in me keep my commandments. Verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Work that sentence backwards for a minute. Jesus is saying, I abided in my Father. Okay? I kept, remember, Jesus is a man living here on earth. He has the same connection point to God that we have right now. Okay? And he abided in his Father and kept his commandments. And then he goes on to say, I will abide in you just like I abided in my Father. Do you see the connection there? Now, Jesus the man is saying this, but there's a whole other layer to this. Okay? Now, one thing I want to mention here. How many of you like the idea of keeping commandments? How many of you are like, yep, love rules, love following the rules. Anybody tells me what the rules are, I'm all there for the rules, right? Correct. Jesus isn't saying this as some sort of drudgery, okay? He's not saying obedience as a punishment or anything like that. What he's saying, verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Okay. See, Jesus as a living man is the one that's saying this at the time he said this. But that's not who we're talking about right now. Who are we talking about right now? We're talking about Jesus. Jesus as far as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus the spiritual being. Jesus exists on a whole level that I can't understand. Okay? Let's face it. We were created in God's image. In his image. We are not God. God exists at a level that my brain was not made to fathom. Okay? That's part of the relationship, is trying to understand that. That's why it has to continue, because it has to keep growing. But here's the thing. Jesus is saying, my joy. Okay? If Jesus exists on a level that's beyond what I can understand, his joy is at a level beyond what I can understand. Okay? I'm not talking about the joy that makes you laugh so hard that your sides hurt. I'm not talking about the joy that you experience because you've seen something or done something or experienced something. That's human joy. That's based on a realm that I'm putting on it, my understanding. Jesus is saying, my joy as a part of God, as a spiritual being, that joy is beyond what I can understand. He's going to let me share in that joy. Okay? This is the other side of the relationship. This is the he abiding in us. Okay? He says, my love. It's the same thing. Jesus is talking about a type of love that we don't understand. It's not something we can understand. 1 John 5:3, I think, says it very, very well. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and those commandments are not burdensome." Okay? Not a burden. R.C. Sproul again. We are not driven to obey Christ in order to get in good with him. We are driven to obey Christ in a heart that is filled with gratitude for the way he plucked us out of this world and poured his love into us. So how do we keep his commandments? Well, let's start with a different question. Sometimes I get the wrong answer because I ask the wrong question. What is he talking about? What commandments? What commandments? Well, let's go to Mark 12, verses 30 through 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That's the greatest commandment, right? Anybody remember hearing that one? What are we supposed to hold back from God? Anything? Nothing. Don't hold anything back. Okay, how do you do that? That's not an easy answer, is it? But it really is. Because you see how it ties back to abiding? Because Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will keep my commandments. Well, what's the commandment? To love God in a way that's hard for me to do as a human being. So how do I make myself love God in a way that's hard for me to understand? I can't. I can't make myself do it. Now it's a burden. Okay, that's why it starts with abiding in me. The relationship with Jesus allows you to feel things and understand things and live in a way that's beyond what you can do without the help. Second commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these. Love your neighbor as yourself. That sounds really good, doesn't it? How many of you, don't raise your hands, this is a rhetorical question. How many of you struggle with that? How many of you just in this Christmas season had a moment where you were probably putting yourself in front of somebody else in a moment of anger, frustration, exhaustion, combination of all the three? Yeah, we all did it. Face it, how many of you had road rage? So let's talk about that. Those who keep his commandments love one another. Okay, we're talking about verses 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, Jesus is foreshadowing here. Now, does it ever strike anybody that even at this moment, his disciples have no idea that he's been telling them right out that he's going to be sacrificed, he's going to die, I'm getting down to my final hours? Yes, he's foreshadowing that, but there's more to what he's saying here, okay? He's foreshadowing the as I abide in you part. Okay, Jesus is saying there's no greater love that anybody has than to lay down his life. What he's saying is, if you guys understood this, I'm about to give up my life to demonstrate love greater than any other love you can have. The love I have for you, I am about to demonstrate to you by giving up my life. Now, please, this is not any kind of a message about going to give up your life for somebody else. That's not what I'm saying. Understand, we still have to look at Jesus as the person that is not just a man, but he exists on a level above and beyond where we do. This is Jesus, the spiritual being, talking here. Because you understand, the dying on the cross is only a part of what he did for us. It's only a part of the love he has for us. If there wasn't a resurrection, if he didn't have eternal life, if he didn't rise again as the spiritual being, none of this works. You have to have that part. Okay, so what God is saying, or what Jesus is saying here, is I am about to do something on a spiritual level that's going to demonstrate love for you beyond basically what you can comprehend. But here again, there's no greater commandment There's no greater love. I'm going to give you the greatest love that's ever been as a tool that you can use here on earth. First John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Okay, we're talking about that spiritual love here. Love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In that, the love of God was made manifested among us with that God sent his only Son into the world so that he might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He paid the price. That's not part of today's message, but he paid the price. Do you see what John's saying here? Okay? He's not talking about Jesus. He's talking about God. God the Father separating himself from Jesus the Son to be a vessel of the love, I guess would be a way to say it. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Did you catch that last part? It goes back to God is abiding in us. And God abiding in us is what allows us to perfect that love. Now, what are we talking about with love? I talked about this a little bit before. I'm not talking about mushy-gushy love. I'm not talking about what you see in the movies. I'm not talking about this idea of what perfect love is here on earth. That's not what this is about. We're talking about spiritual love. Now, number one, we're talking about parental love. So all of you that are parents, especially those of you that have kids with driver's license, you understand that parental love. Or even if you have kids that are a little bit of a daredevil, you understand that parental love. Do I understand it the way God did? No, I don't. I can't. But it's the sacrificial love. It's that love at that spiritual level. Okay, sometimes I have to remind myself of that, that when we're talking about joy and love and all of these things, if Jesus and God are talking about it, they're talking about it from their side of the stick. Is that a good way of putting it? Their side there. Do you understand? They're talking about it from where they're at. That's not where we're at. They're at the perfect place. How many of you would agree that even at its best, the love, the joy, the happiness, the fellowship with everybody else, all of those things that we experience here, at its best, we know it's not always permanent, or it's not going to stay exactly that way. Okay? How many of you remember when your kids were really cute and you wanted to spend all the time with them, and then they turned into teenagers, and you're... Okay, let's be fair. How many of you teenagers remember when your parents were a whole lot more fun than they are now? Don't worry, Danny. It's a two-way street. It goes both ways. Okay? So how do we love each other? Well, the simple answer is we love each other the way Jesus loved us. Okay, let's use Jesus as an example. But what does that mean? Well, let me go back to the beginning. For me, abiding in Jesus, I told you there was a point where I asked for some help. I got a book. I read the book. That made me want to read more books. I came to adult Sunday school. That helped me understand a whole lot more of the Bible. Okay, I came to some men's group stuff. There were some great groups that I came to. I invested the time in those things, and they made a big difference. Now, I'm going to put a caveat on this, because this is my personal relationship, but I'm also going to put this out there as a challenge, because I can tell you some of the best things in my personal relationship, some of the best parts of me abiding in Jesus, was when I was asked to do children's message. And eventually that turned into 1 week every month. Now, maybe that's not for everybody, but it's for more of you than are currently doing it. I know that. I was asked to sub once or twice in Sunday school when somebody was gone. That led into teaching middle school Sunday school. I can tell you that is one of my favorite parts, is preparing for that and then being a part of the discussion with other people as they see some of the same things I saw. Now, there again, that may not be for everybody in here, but I guarantee you it's for more of you than are currently teaching. I was asked to fill in some small group stuff, okay? That was part of it. I can tell you that, so if we look at the pruning part of it, some of the roughest times in my life, God put things in place beforehand to help me through those times when he did lay his hands heavily on me, and it was rough. But I can tell you that there were relationships with Dennis. There were relationships with Jake Schleter that helped me through those times. There was relationships with Chad Sutke that helped me through those times. And do you know, those times started all the conversations that led to the Better Men's Group. That's where that started from, was some of those early conversations about how we needed to have that relationship with more people. That's part of it. I was asked to be a trustee. I was asked to serve here. Before that, I was asked to come on cleanup day and help. Okay? I was asked to take a turn cleaning the church. All of those things are still part of abiding. All of those things can still be part of that relationship. But eventually that led to being on the nominating committee, and then that led to being asked to serve as an elder. And Stephen's going to preach next week a little bit more about what I've learned. I'm not saying that he's preaching on what I learned, but he's going to preach on some of the things that he's taught me is about being an elder. There again, that's not for everybody. But I guarantee you there's a calling for some of you in here to do something. Even if it's just to volunteer. Even if it's just to hold the door for somebody, to smile and say hi. To find a face that you don't recognize and say hi. I don't know what it is for you. But you understand, that's the work that you have to put in, is to figure it out. 1 year ago today, Dick preached a message, and all I remember about it is him saying, what are you doing? What are you doing to better yourself? What are you doing to grow? And I'm going to echo the same thing. It's the end of the year. This was my prayer last night. This is going to be the last sermon of this decade in this church. And I've been asked to do it. And it's either going to end on a bang or it's going to end on a bang. I don't know which one it is. But what I can tell you is I would challenge you, what did you do this year to abide in Jesus? And what are you going to do next year to abide in Jesus? Because if you abide in Jesus, he will give you the ability to keep his commandments. You put in the effort, he will give you the strength to put God first. Is it perfect? No, we're fallen people. It's never perfect. Don't expect perfection. I know that's rough for some people, but perfection is impossible. Or perfection is such a small sliver that it doesn't stay. But he'll give you the strength to keep the commandments, to put God first. And if you put God first, God puts the love in you, And that love allows you to love your neighbors as yourself. Are you with me so far? So it's the circle, but it has to start somewhere. But what's the return on investment? How many of you, like, everybody, everything's got to be an abbreviation right now, right? How many of you get texts from your kids and you're like, I have no idea what they're saying? Everything's got to be abbreviated, okay? What's the return on investment? What's the ROI of this whole thing? Well, just out of what I talked about here, how would you like to feel love at a level from a perfect spiritual being? It's not something you're going to feel from somebody else, ever. It's better. How would you like to feel joy from a perfectly spiritual being? Joy beyond anything you've ever felt. Anything that another person or anything in this world can give you. Beyond that. That's the return on the investment. Okay? How would you like to feel fellowship beyond anything that you've ever felt before? A closeness closer than anything you can have in this world. That'd be pretty good. But you know what the last one is? The last one goes back to that pruning part. How would you like to feel comforted? How would you like to feel held, snuggled, protected? Put whatever word in there matches you. How would you like to feel that secure beyond anything you could ever feel in this world? From a spiritual being that exists on a level beyond us. Does that sound pretty good? That's the return on investment. Now, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I have to say things this way in my head. Is it worth getting up a little bit early to go to Sunday school to get that return on investment? Probably. At least, I think so. I'm going to go back to where I started. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide in me so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask for your strength. We all ask for your strength to help us to find that relationship with you, to be able to take it one step further. Lord, I ask that you come to everybody here, wherever they're at, and that you help them grow that relationship. To get one step closer to you, to put a little bit more in. And Lord, I ask that you may pour the rewards out on them. Let us feel the joy, the love, the security, the relationship, all of those things that you have in store for us. Lord, I also pray for safety as the year comes to a close. May we look to 2020. With even greater hope and greater energy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.